Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Edition. Love it when there's a game on a day we do the program. Whether it's Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Black Friday Football.
Are you saying program like Pat McAfee does?
Well, I'm trying to support my guy Mike McCarthy with his new gig on Pat McAfee. Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
As long as he still does his gig with us at some point, hopefully. Edition. All the accoutrements that we normally have on Friday going into a Sunday game. The green and gold game preview, prize picks, all the fun stuff that we enjoy doing. Edition. Plus, a visit from Rob Domofsky and a visit from the entire crew of Unsportsmanlike, which displaced Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and landed them on ESPN Madison, which was fun today. Sure was fun for those that are in charge of coordinating such things. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need, including if your morning show gets bumped to a different station, you can always get them live on the ESPN Wisconsin app, which is available both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, hardest working man in show business, is back after being under the weather yesterday. And some on the panel, well, basically all of us on the panel, questioning his lack of availability. He's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. I'm sorry?
No, we did.
Yeah.
All of us did,
We all did. Yeah, indeed. And we never questioned this guy. This guy. What a great presentation about Matt LaPay by that guy. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
How are you feeling today, Jesse?
Better. Fresh? Thank you feeling for good? Asking.
So you bet.
I know some pointed out I sounded particularly stuffy, more than usual. So Diana and McGuanago, I was aware of how bad I sounded yesterday.
Stuffy.
You weren't on air yesterday. Was she at your house, or how did she?
Great
sound
question.
No, that's a reference to last week on Kyle Bruston Norman when she said I have a very nasally voice and I'm very annoying.
There was reports from certain fill-in producers, cousin subs, if you will. That you, and I knew when you took the volleyball gig that you were going to miss shows. I don't know why you don't just tell us in advance.
That's fair.
That would make things probably easier. But there were reports that someone was having a couple too many Coors Lights and or Tito's after the big volleyball win, reportedly saw you at a establishment late on Tuesday night, and thought that you missed Wednesday because someone couldn't soar with the Eagles when they were hooting with the Owls. That is what I heard.
The reports are true. I did go out to a nearby establishment with a fellow teammate after the volleyball match on Tuesday night.
Uh-oh.
The two alcoholic beverages that I consumed between 9 and 10 p.m. did not impact my ability to come in and produce yesterday's show. I can guarantee you more Coors Lights will be consumed tonight during Thursday night football, and I will be here tomorrow. It was totally based on...
Oh, you can't assure us you're going to be here tomorrow.
I can assure you I will be here tomorrow, pending an emergency of some type. I will be here tomorrow.
Car breaking down. What if you got the sniffles?
I spent yesterday a lot of time near a Kleenex box. I ran through an entire Kleenex box all by myself yesterday, getting it all out of the system. I took a three-hour nap. Brian Bulaga put me to sleep. I was listening to you guys, and then I fell asleep listening to Bulaga, and I woke up at 12:45. I'm like, oh, show's over already. Dang, should probably get started with my day. So feeling a lot better. So thank you for understanding and providing me the day to recover. That's what sick days are for.
What choice did we have?
Yeah, you didn't give us a choice.
That's true. I guess you just kind of have to roll with it if I tell you. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
This is how things work.
But you can choose not to understand and be forgiving, which it sounds like you're kind of doing. So I'm just going to say thank you for understanding and being forgiving for me missing yesterday.
I'm glad that's how you
about the health and safety of my teammates and myself. And I think it was in everyone's best interest that I stay home yesterday. The end.
I'm curious, Jesse, how much better you feel today and how focused you are on the big game tonight now, since you're well-rested for it.
Very excited for the game tonight. Very excited.
How are we feeling about Thursday night games? I don't love it. Players hate it. I think this... I don't mind a Thanksgiving. I want to take the whole weekend. I don't want us to have to throw our schedule off. I don't want fans to... Like, we're going to feel Sunday like, where's our Packers? Why are we not playing? And now we get rushed and forced into an early game this early in the season. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I don't.
So, Thursday Night Football began in 2006.
Yeah. Yeah, late in the season.
It was
right
eight
now.
Games back then. Eight games. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure... It expanded to 10 games in 2014, I think. Maybe a little bit later. Maybe a little earlier. But it's been all 17 weeks now for a while. I guess I'm a little surprised that you're still adjusting to it.
No, I'm not adjusting to it. I don't like it. Listen, you can sit there and get irritated about things, or you can do something about it. And if there's nothing you're going to do about this. What are we going to do? Not watch? I'm going to watch tonight. And there's times that it's nice to have it on, but I'm saying from my perspective as a Packer fan and doing the show, I would rather them not do this until Thanksgiving. I think tonight everything's rushed from a player standpoint and from this. Will we see a good quality game tonight? I hope so. And will we talk about it tomorrow? Yes. So that's why I don't complain about it, because there's nothing we're going to do about it, and I don't have a solution. I have no solution for you. This is a big moneymaker for the NFL, and unless I have a better alternative, and I don't, I can't sit and pout and cry about it. I'm just voicing my opinion. I'm going to move on. So this is different than my normal. Yeah. If I have an issue, I want to give you an answer. I don't have an answer, so I brought it up. I'm not going to sit here and pound the table like I do on other things that can be, like picking your opponent and other stuff that is easy fix
table pounding.
Bring more money in for the league. That's not the case here. So that's why, Jason. That's why.
So let me ask you this, because this is something that, and obviously we are our program is based in Madison, much like Jen, Gabe, and Chewy was today anyway. But I still remember Aaron Rodgers, you're on the field protecting his, I guess, front side at right tackle in Dallas. That memorable game on the NFL Network that no one in Madison was able to watch in the comfort of their home because they didn't have, on the cable system at the time, the NFL Network even available in 2007. Again, the NFL rules for streaming games, and you love your Peacock over there, but their rules are they put the game on over-the-air television. Jesse mentioned this in his Sports Center, and I was going to bring it up to start the show anyway, so thank you, Jesse, for your service. The NFL requires that games are broadcast in the home market of each team on over-the-air television. Now, I don't know how many other teams have what the Packers have, but the Packers have two home markets. They have Milwaukee, and they have Green Bay. It's Green Bay Fox Cities. So the TV stations in those two markets, one of them picks up the Amazon Prime broadcast, and you can watch it on your telly. If you live in, say, oh, I don't know, the Madison market or the Eau Claire La Crosse market, and you're not getting the Minneapolis, you're not getting, well, I guess it doesn't matter, unless they're playing the Vikings. You're not getting the game on TV. You have to have Amazon Prime to watch the game. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that?
What do you want me to do about it?
I'm not asking you to solve it. I'm asking you if you're okay with it.
Well, yeah, I'm asking, what do you want me to do about it? Like, am I okay with it? I think everybody should be able to watch it, but that's... Listen, man, everybody wants to cut these big checks and take them. This is what it is. So, this is the norm. It's not 2006 anymore. There's plenty of different options. I don't love it, but what am I going to do about it?
But you, my point is, you have Amazon Prime.
I do. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that do. You do not have Peacock. You remain steadfast in your anti-Peacock
stance. No, I will not
watch
a game. I will not watch a game on Peacock. No.
And Jesse, you have Amazon Prime too.
We do, yes.
So my question for people unlike us, they not like us, what are you doing for the game if you don't pay for Amazon Prime?
I almost wonder, I think more, who has more subscribers, Netflix or Amazon? Because if you use Amazon to get stuff delivered to your house,
correct,
you have Amazon Prime.
Great question. I have both. I have the ad version of Netflix because I didn't want to pay the full freight. So I watch a few commercials interspersed with my programming. We use Amazon a lot.
I don't know who has more subscribers. I think straight content Netflix, but when you factor in the fact that if you use, tell me I'm wrong. If you get an Amazon package,
I don't think you are.
If you use Amazon, do you not have Amazon Prime? Is that how that works?
If you have Amazon Prime to get free shipping on all your goodies,
yeah,
including I think they ship ice cream, and you also get the TV aspect of it, the streaming aspect of it. Yes, all in one. Like it's $179 a year or something like that now?
Not everybody that has Amazon Prime.
Right. Everybody has Amazon.
Why would you pay for shipping? Why would you not just... Is the price difference big?
I don't know.
Why would you not have both? Because who wants to pay for shipping if you don't have to? And then you get all that content and these games, and Amazon's getting more and more involved in sports. It can't be... The juice has got to be worth the squeeze, or otherwise, why would so many people have it? Because what show has come out on Amazon that you're like, I got to watch that, outside of football? Hey, have they put anything out
Reacher,
that's been worth a
Reacher
lick?
Is really good.
Very popular, yeah. Reacher.
Netflix puts out Hunting Wives and Jerry Jones and
Hunting
Receiver.
Wives?
Hunting Wives is something else now. Oh, God.
Don't
watch that around anybody but yourself.
Amazon Prime did a remake of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That season one came out last year.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for you guys to tell me something Amazon has put out that's good.
I'm giving it to you right now.
You didn't.
I forgot the name of the superhero show, but that's really good.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
It is. Yeah. It's been around for
it's so good that you don't even know the name of it.
Coming up on their fifth or sixth season now. I binged it all in one
sitting.
Bottom line,
if you're ranking straight content, I would think Amazon Prime would be at the bottom of the list. But I bet when you're asking who's got what services, Amazon would be right there with Netflix. And I find that to me is interesting. Am I crazy to think that?
No, I don't watch a lot of Amazon Prime. I would agree.
What's on Amazon anybody watches?
There was
a show. It's on Netflix. Oh, it's on Paramount. Oh, it's on blank Disney. I've never heard anybody say, oh, check out this show. It's on Amazon.
I just gave
Except
you three.
Except for Jesse with some movie, some superhuman movie, and he don't even know the name of. Oh, you got to check that out. Otherwise, you don't know anything.
I watched a show called Bosch. It's like a police procedural that I really liked on Amazon Prime. I'm more likely to watch like a documentary than an actual series on Amazon Prime. But again, I'm not a big streamer. I'm still a cable guy. I've not cut the cord.
The Boys. That's what I was trying to think of. The Boys is the name of the show.
Tausch hasn't heard of it, so much must suck.
Good superhero show. Very graphic. Very graphic superhero show.
When a customer
chooses Pella, one of the most important... What? There's a lull. We had a lull.
That was in no way a lull.
As long of a lull as Jesse's lull on SportsCenter. I was wondering if the SportsCenter was over. He lulled so long.
So among the best shows available on Amazon Prime to stream, and I've noticed that this is where Amazon Prime seems to succeed, are shows that you loved that aren't new shows, but you can't stream them anywhere else. Okay. Now, I don't know if you need to stream Seinfeld, because it feels like syndication reruns are everywhere, but that is the streaming home of Seinfeld. Also, Suits, which I feel like Jesse was a big fan of,
Suits
if I remember
great.
Correctly.
That's on Peacock, though. You can find it there.
That's that old princess that didn't want to be princess anymore, right? She's on that show?
Yes. That is where she rose to fame, yes.
And now she wants to be princess without doing princess things.
We don't need to talk about Suits without bringing up Meghan Markle.
Well, she's the whole reason people watch the show.
Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Rec's a good show.
I'm confused by this. The Office is also streamed on there. Shouldn't that be on Peacock? It's an NBC show.
I feel like Amazon kind of collects what's on some of the other streams and makes it available for people.
Listen, Amazon is king of delivering stuff to your house, and content is a bottom 50th thing that they do.
Mad Men?
I don't know why you guys are trying to... What is your deal with defending Amazon streaming?
I'm not.
It's not good.
Jack Ryan series with John Krasinski is really good.
Not to be confused with
Jimmy
Jack Reacher.
Halpert.
I was actually agreeing with you. I was just trying to find potential. I literally said I agree with you with the first sentence I said. All right. I also
agree
with you.
It's all right. Guys, you can't be great at everything. You're great at getting packages from point A to point B. And then you throw a football game on. But other than that, nobody's getting Amazon if they ain't getting it free with Amazon Prime. They're just not. And I don't know why is it so hard for you guys to just say instead of saying, oh, no, I got a great superhero movie out. Oh. Well, what is it called?
I don't know. Because you asked what shows are on him.
Where do
Prime.
Like
and you
got
we were trying
shows.
To answer your question.
Boys, that was for you to prove my point, and you did beautifully, but then you keep fighting me on it. You know what you don't fight me about is the great Windows and Doors at Pella, Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them, honoring trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, but when you see the experience and the professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
We will continue this argument, or maybe we won't, since we weren't really arguing. We were just trying to answer a question.
The Terminal is pretty good, too.
God, is it, though? That's the movie with Hanks where he's locked in the airport, right?
Let me ask you this. Does anybody have Amazon in their top three streaming services they gotta have?
No.
The answer is no.
No.
I got Apple Plus.
I don't know about top five. I don't even know how many streaming services there are, but I don't think it's top five.
Roku.
Is that a streaming service or is that a distribution service?
Oh, not this again.
Jesse, that's exactly why I said that there. We got to get ready for Rob Domofsky. He's joining us after the next segment, which I'm sure will include us arguing about how we agree on something. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree that's no good for nothing, no commas in his bank account. But there's a girl at the hole in the wall where he plays. Don't take her eyes off the stage, she loves his southern drawl from north of Atlanta.
I could power rank streaming services all day, but unfortunately, we don't have time to do so because we got Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com coming up next, which means it's time right now for the Green and Gold game preview.
Let's take a closer look at this week's matchup. This is the Green and Gold game preview.
Early edition for an early week of football. The Green Bay Packers and the Washington Commanders on Amazon Prime tonight, guys. What is the big storyline heading into this game, Tausch?
Well, to me, it's what we saw Sunday. Is this the new normal? Is this what we're going to continue to see? And I don't have any reason to think it's not. So your test is a lot tougher, in my opinion, on the defensive side of the ball because of Jaden Daniels and the run pass options that he has. He is a much more dynamic player than Jared Goff. Is their offensive line as good as Detroit's? Their tackles, I don't believe, are. So we'll find out a lot about whether or not this defense that I have said will be the leading force of this team. If you see that tonight versus this offense, I'm not going to say case closed, but I'm going to say there is a lot of evidence starting to pile up. Early, a lot of evidence piling up that that is the case, and tonight will be a big test for this defense to see if that is indeed the start of the season, if that's going to be what it looks like.
It is a big test. There's no two ways about it. I'm going to go with the low-hanging fruit, as Tausch likes to call it. It's Love versus Daniels, right? They both had playoff teams last year. It is year two for Jaden Daniels. We saw Jordan Love have some, you know, injury issues and some inconsistency in his second year as a starter after a bonkers final eight games of the 2023 season. So this is a great duel of two good young quarterbacks, one still considerably younger than the other because one sat for three seasons and Jaden Daniels played right away. But this is why this game is on Amazon Prime. Because of the quarterbacks. This isn't on Amazon Prime because of the defenses. So my good friend Joe Witt and his defense, we'll see what they're able to do against Jordan Love. I agree with Tausch, as I often do. I'm very intrigued to see if this defense, with this weaponry that the Commanders have and a different type of quarterback than Jared Goff, can have the same type of success. Next!
Jay Bird, you got... You right now, you look at it, which quarterback do you want for the next 10 years? Unsportsmanlike asked this question. Jaden Daniels, Jordan Love, who are you picking?
I don't know. What's next, Jesse?
I don't know. Besides Jordan Love and Micah Parsons, which Packers player can have the biggest impact on tonight's game, Tausch?
I don't know. I would have bet $1 million at the Hard Rock Casino.
Do you have $1 million?
He was going to say, if I had $1 million, that you were going to do that. We got to get to Domofsky. I was trying to be quick. We didn't have time for that.
That's not what you were doing. Your head
is 100% what I was
doing. Jesse, I was so frustrated and irritated with Jason. Who can't I say, and who am I? I'll answer your question.
Everybody's taking Jaden Daniels for the next 10 years because of he's 1 year in as opposed to being six in for Jordan Love. And
no, I don't think there's a lot of Packer fans that wouldn't say that. What's the question you just asked before I rudely didn't?
Besides Jordan Love and Micah Parsons, which Packers player can have the biggest impact on tonight's game?
Ooh, Josh Jacobs. This is going to be a run the ball. I think the Packers didn't love the way they ran the football. Mm-hmm. And typically what I've noticed, you get what you emphasize as a coach, or at least good teams do. And I'm sure for everybody raving about how great the effort and energy of the team was last week, I would bet that Luke Butkus and Steno and the boys up there are sitting there saying, hey, we didn't get the job done running the football. I know the second half was better, but they're going to want to, A, just because they can, they want to run the football more effectively. Josh Jacobs is going to want to do that. I think this is going to be a JJ game tonight. JJ game tonight.
Darian Kennard starting at right tackle, presumably, for Zach Tom. We have seen when you have a player who is so vital to your offensive line success not play. Now, obviously, it was different in that Eagles game because Elgton Jenkins was injured four plays in. These guys have at least had the week to get ready. But they didn't have any practices, so Darian Kennard at right tackle is my sneaky pick for the player that could have the biggest impact tonight. All right, last one, Jesse.
The Packers beat the Commanders tonight and avoid losing to Washington at Lambeau Field for the first time since 1986.
Woo.
If blank.
It's going to be easy. This is an easy one for me. Tonight will all be about if Jaden Daniels' rushing yards are limited to minimal or nothing, if he can't get out of the pocket and make plays with his feet, they're not beating the Green Bay Packers. I think the pass rush and the pressure that Jeff Hafley, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, you keep going through the list and list, it will overwhelm them. If they don't have a somewhat of a way to neutralize that with their quarterback running the football, I think it will be a long night for Washington, and I'm not going to tip my headlines yet, but I don't know. I think he needs to have over 30 at a minimum rush yards. If he's not in that ballpark picking up some critical third downs with his feet, if they don't do that, they are not going to be able to sustain drives. And when you can't do that, you don't put up points. And when you don't put up points, pretty tough to win football games.
The Packers win if Mark Moseley misses that last second field goal like he did in 1983 on Monday Night Football in the first game on primetime I was ever allowed to stay up to watch when I was 10, 11 years old.
Hey, Jason, I got a quick question. NFL-wise, do you think the NFL put in their algorithm for the schedule to make sure Washington played Green Bay on September 11th like we did in September way back because of that post-game September 11th Washington game that was about a week and a half after that tragedy? You think there's any way that they...
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen the NFL do anything to this point anyway. I haven't seen a replay of Chris Gizzy running out with the flag. I wrote that story... was it last year on the 20th or a couple years ago on the 2021 on the 20th anniversary, and Chris Gizzy was great talking about it. I mean, that still is what he's remembered for. I don't think that's the case here, but I will say this, and you know this having been on the field, one of the most powerful moments I've ever been a part of. That was really something to see and something to witness. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later in the show. We need to get to Rob Domofsky, and we need you to tell us about Coors Light.
Well, Coors Light brewed the three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying a couple after a big volleyball win, forcing you to miss work the next day, or you just want to chill, crack open that Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
You see him on TV all the time. You can find him in the all-new ESPN app. And you can read him at ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. It's Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Just got done reading your story on ESPN.com about Jordan Love, who did not help you nearly as much as Matt LaFleur did with this story when you asked him where he thought he'd be if he'd played right away. Who knows? Okay, thank you. I'm curious what you learned as you put together this story, because you've got a guy who played right away and was the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL going against a guy who sat for 3 years and obviously has been a very good quarterback for the Packers.
Yeah. Jason, I learned that as much as everybody at the end of 2023 around the league said the Packers have – this is the way to do it with quarterbacks, we all should do it this way, that no one actually does it that way. Like, it's just – they can say it all they want, but nobody does. And there's a number of reasons for it. Is most of these teams picking quarterbacks in the first round don't have a good quarterback. And the other thing is that these teams have owners that either aren't going to let a general manager pick a quarterback when they already have a quarterback, or if they do pick a quarterback in the first round, they're not going to let him sit for 3 years. That was ultimately the premise of the story when I started, because obviously Jaden Daniels played right away. But I felt compelled to sort of direct the beginning of it to the whole thing about Jordan's evolution as a leader. And we all know last offseason, right in the post game or the postseason press conference right after the playoff game, if Goody and LaFleur or one or both said, you know, they'd like to see Jordan take that next step as a leader. And I asked LaFleur, sitting in his office, incidentally, the day of the Micah Parsons trade, I sat in his office and Brian Gutekunst's office, and neither one of them let on that the trade was basically done, even though I did ask. But anyway, I asked LaFleur, I said, you know, what examples of Love taking on leadership have you seen? And he told the story, which was the lead of the story, in which after the very first training camp practice, he called the team together on the field, and as he often does, he goes over the good and bad from that day's practice. Here's the schedule the rest of the day. And then he typically would call a player up to break the huddle down. Well, this time he just stepped back and wanted to see what happened, and Jordan Love stepped right into the center of the huddle and took control, and he said, there we go. That's what I'm looking for.
Do you think – I thought that was your lead was interesting, too, for that reason. At the same time – and look, I don't want to poo-poo Matt LaFleur's answer there, but I assume he did that expecting Jordan Love to be the one, and he'd already said in the offseason that he wanted him to be more of a leader, so he damn well better step up and do that. Do you and look, you've been around sports for a really long time, not just the Packers, but with the boys playing basketball and everything else. There's different coaching styles, and there's different leadership styles. You know, I don't think I'm ever going to see Jordan Love chew a guy's ass out the way I saw Aaron Rodgers do it, right? So do you think that his leadership style is still an effective one? I know you and I have not been led by him, so it's a little bit harder to answer. But every player I talk to talks about how good he is one-to-one. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And I mean, it's probably not his personality to do it the other way, although I will, to your first point about chewing a guy out, I remember asking Josh Myers about this last year. Have you ever seen him chew anybody out publicly or privately? And he said, no, I haven't. And I said, so it's not like the previous guy. And I'll never forget Josh Myers said, well, let's see what he's like in 13 years. So, you never know. Yeah.
Rob, what was the big takeaway when you asked that question? Because Green Bay has been fortunate. You know, everybody asks, well, how do they keep doing it? Well, when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback and you don't have the pressure to put a young player in right away, judging by all the reports that you and Jason and everybody else had what Jordan Love looked like as a rookie and as a first-year player, he would have struggled immensely had he been thrown out there. What did LaFleur have to say if that was indeed the case?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right about that, Tausch. And you know, they were lucky that they didn't need him to play. And the first glimpse of playing really was that Kansas City game, which LaFleur continues to say is on him. You know, but you know, the one thing that he said that stood out to me was that, you know, he and Goody have talked about it over and over, that you can't play these guys until they're ready. And most people don't have the patience to do that. So, I mean, like that's the overriding thing. Now, there have been guys that played right away and really, really struggled and came out of it just fine. I mean, Peyton Manning, what were they, 3-13, and he had, I think, the most interceptions for first-year quarterback or something like that in that first year. Yep. Starting. And he ended up okay. But, you know, it seems like more and more, you know, that's just not the case. It just doesn't – guys get ruined or, you know, whatever you want to say, however you want to describe it, they just never come back the same, you know. I mean, it's just – and that's just sort of the – that's the facts. Why it is, you know, as LaFleur said to me, it's usually those guys that come into situations where there's just zero chance for success.
Well, and the talent around and the coaching.
Right.
It all kind of melds itself together. Rob, yeah. We all have talked all week already about how great the defense was and the energy that Lambeau had on Sunday. Do you think this is going to be, and you've covered the team almost as long as Jason, right? Is mm-hmm. this going to be left. The first time in a while that the team is led by the defensive side of the football?
Boy, it's a little early to say that, Tausch. I mean, what year was it when Rodgers
said that? Sounds like an I don't know. I love it.
Yeah, well, what year was it?
He didn't say I don't know and stop talking.
Rodgers said, I think it was after the opener in Chicago, hey, we've got a defense.
Yeah, 2019.
Now.
Yes, sir.
2019. Yep. Okay, well, yeah, that defense never really held up as well as they thought.
Yeah,
so,
that was the Bears' offense, too. This was a juggernaut right. that they shut down. So. And mm-hmm. Micah Parsons. Yeah. I guess my point, yeah. Rob, is when you have Favre and Rodgers and MVPs that they are, yeah. it is always good. And that is not to say that there's been plenty of 2010 defense, 2014 yeah. defense, but it makes it that much more different. Jordan Love is not at that point yet where he no. is. And when you bring Micah no. in, who's one of the best, all of a sudden it just feels like yeah. they're going to take ownership of this team and the offense isn't going to need to be the right. juggernaut that we always expect yeah. when you have a quarterback like that.
Yeah, and to that point, Tausch, I think getting back to what we were talking about earlier on about Jordan and, you know, his leadership style, I don't think Jordan cares if the defense is the yes. best part of this team, if it's a defense. I remember the year that Amon Green had rushed for 1,800 yards, was that 03 or 04? I can't yeah, remember which
03?
One. Jason's 03. Better at this than the years. But Favre, I remember asking Favre, is this a running led team? And he got all offended by it, you know? Like, I don't think Jordan Love is going to get offended or mad about the fact that this could be a defensive led team. So, I think it's very possible that that's the direction this team could go, which, quite frankly, doesn't that make it easier for Jordan Love and the offense in some ways to not have to have that burden on your shoulders every single time out?
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. So, Rob, we talked – the defense has gotten all the love in this short week. What yep. did you think of the offense? Because this week, you're probably – don't know what's going to happen on the O-line.
Yeah.
But I thought it was choppy. There was some really good stuff early, obviously, with the third down passing right. and everything else. But what did you see offensively, and what do you think they're going to need to do better this week?
Yeah. Honestly, from a play distribution standpoint, it reminded me a lot of last year. You know, nobody has more than, what, four or five targets. Nobody has more than two or three catches. Josh Jacobs gets hard yards. The tight ends make plays when you need them to. You know, so it looked a lot like last year. I mean, I guess, you know, you probably shouldn't have expected Matthew Golden to catch seven passes for 95 yards and a touchdown, but I'd like to see that at some point. And maybe it's not even Matthew Golden. But I just think you do need, as great as it is to have all these guys, you still need a guy. Like, I firmly believe that it's a game of stars, and you've got to have someone, and not necessarily a guy that you just always depend on, which I think they got that way a little bit late in the Davante Adams tenure, but you need a guy that is going to be your go-to guy. They have a third down. Romeo Doubs, a lot of times, is the third down guy. They've got a red zone guy, right? A lot of times it's Tucker Kraft or whatever it is. But, like, I still think you need a star, someone that absolutely everybody in the building knows the ball's going to, and yet you still get it to him. And I don't know that they have that quite yet.
Talking with ESPN's Rob Domofsky on a Packers game day. Packers and Commanders tonight on Amazon Prime, which is the only place you can watch it if you're in the Madison market, if you're in Milwaukee, or in the Green Bay Fox Cities. You'll be able to watch it on over-the-air TV. Rob, the Packers get a one-year deal done with Christian Watson. Yeah. I love it when – I love the shift now, by the way, because Adam Schefter's the best in the business at it. But now we've cut through the BS, and now we just have the agent telling him and the agent being quoted in the tweet, which I love.
Right. My favorite, thing about that, and this is journalism, whatever, that people don't care about. But now then the other people confirm the report. Like I saw an unnamed reporter from another outlet. I have confirmed that Christian Watson has signed the deal. Well, yeah, because his agent is the one who said it. Like, you needed someone to confirm that?
Correct, you know? Yes. Old habits die hard. What I said immediately during my volleyball concession stand shift was, I like this for both sides. And the thing that I thought was interesting is that there's been a segment of Packers fans who've been like, oh, this is really nice that they did this for Christian Watson so he doesn't have to feel the pressure of trying to get ready and play games and earn that contract. And my response is, as soft as I am, and God knows I am, the NFL doesn't operate that way. They don't do nice things. They did this because they believe he's going to be good after this injury, and that $13 million next year is going to be a bargain.
Right.
Right?
No, 100%. Jason, this was always the outcome that I thought would happen, is that he would come back on a one-year deal. I did think, and Tausch can probably speak to this better than anybody, because he was in maybe a similar situation with in a contract year and an ACL, but the two things about it slightly surprised me. One, that they did it so early. I thought maybe he would have come back and play a few games. And two, quite frankly, I thought the price was higher than it. I thought maybe we'd be in the $8 million range, you know, 1 year, $8 million, mm-hmm. you know, prove it type deal. You know what? I guess times have changed because, you know, what Nick Perry way back when did a 1 year, $5 million deal or something like that. So I guess the cost of going doing business has just gone up that much. But it just allowed, and I said this right when he got hurt, maybe even on your show or one of the shows. In some ways, it buys the Packers time to decide whether they want to do a long-term extension with him. And ultimately, mm-hmm. like, this is the way it was going to happen. It's just the time and the money surprised me just a little bit.
All right.
So Rob, does this change? Do you think this affects Romeo Doubs in any way, shape, or form?
That's a great question, Tausch.
And the question I was going to ask.
My answer is no, I don't think it does. If they were going to think they're going to re-sign into a long-term deal, that one-year deal by Christian Watson doesn't preclude them from doing it. It also protects them if they want to move on from him after the season, if they want to trade him at the trade deadline. I mean, this is just hypothetical here, but what if all their guys stay healthy? Christian Watson comes back, looks like he contributes right away, and some team, you know, late October or whenever the deadline is, offers you a third or fourth round pick for Doubs. Do you do it? My answer is probably no, and here's why. Because if Doubs goes on and has a good year, you're going to get probably a fourth round compensatory pick for him anyway. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would probably just let him play the year out. And then, heck, maybe by the end of the year, you know, God forbid, somebody does get hurt, and then you do need Romeo Doubs in the future. So to me, like, I wouldn't do it now, and I'm not saying that Romeo Doubs' time here is definitely done, but even if it is, you're still going to get a good compensatory pick for him.
All right, one quick one for me, and then Tausch can wrap things up. On the Romeo Doubs front, you know, you have as good of a relationship with him as anyone, which I know isn't saying much, but... You know, look, he had two big-time plays last week, right? I mean, he's got the 20-yard catch. He's got the deep ball. Like, what are your expectations for him this season? Because I agree with you, and I've said this multiple times. I just don't think they maybe forgive him for that thing last year, but they don't forget. And I think he's a good player. He's a different guy, but I think he's a good player.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like he's really good at everything. I don't know that he's great at anything. Mm-hmm. A lot like their whole receiving corps, right? Like we talked about right off the top. They've got a lot of really good players. Do they have a great one? He catches the ball pretty well. but occasionally will have a bad drop. He gets open most of the time, but he's not a burner. His route running's usually really good, but every once in a while he's in the wrong spot, right? I mean, that's just that's sort of the way he is. And as a team, you sort of have to decide, okay, well, what do we do with that? And I'm not sure they, from week to week, they know, which is why some games he does have, you know, 7 for 105 and a touchdown, and other games he has 2 for 40 or whatever the case may be.
All right, Rob, as you're going on, I'm going to go about your business. The game is on Amazon tonight.
Yep.
What are your top three streaming services? Because I don't want to miss. I don't want to lead you here.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me your top three streaming services you use.
You and Jessica are huge streamers too.
Yes, we are. Yeah, we don't watch much live television anymore.
Other than ESPN.
I would say some of my favorite shows are on Apple TV.
Okay.
But I watch the quantity is probably higher on Netflix, so I'll probably put that
all
second.
Right.
And then this is maybe off the radar a little bit, but I've got to throw Peacock in there for two reasons. One, was it last year they started doing a bunch of Big Ten basketball games, and I wanted to watch them. There were several Badger games that I wanted to watch, and they also do a couple of the golf majors where the extended coverage is on Peacock. Now, I will preface this all by saying, because I'm an ESPN Walt Disney employee, I do not have to pay for ESPN, Disney, or Hulu. As a college basketball junkie, there's nothing better than ESPN Plus, where on a Tuesday night, I can watch Akron play Toledo, or on a Wednesday night, I can watch Stony Brook play Delaware. I love that stuff. So for college basketball, mid-major, low-major, I love ESPN Plus streaming service.
Just wait. So, as an ESPN employee, you get your Disney. Everything is on the house.
Completely.
Kudos to you. You get Disney trips
Disney
too.
Tickets.
You get to go down to Orlando or not?
Everyone says the greatest perk, especially if you have kids, as an ESPN employee, is free Disney admission. I've been there 13 years, and this past spring was the very first time I ever stepped foot in a Disney park as a Disney employee, and. I don't know the next time I'll go back, but I had to do it.
Okay. All right. So Rob Domofsky's power ranking, it sounds like it's Disney 1.
Because it's free.
Netflix 2?
No,
and
Apple
Peacock
TV.
Three? Is that
I went Apple TV, Netflix, Peacock, and then ESPN.
I think we all can agree ESPN Plus is not, that's exempt from the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's the best. All right, Rob. We'll see you at the game tonight. Thanks.
All right. Have a great day, guys. We'll be seeing you.
That is ESPN and Disney employee Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. We need to play trivia next. Jesse, what's today's category? What caller do you want?
All the great things you get on ESPN Plus and Disney Plus. No. It is Thursday Night Lights. The Packers playing on Thursday Night Football. Questions about some of their historic all-time games. On Thursday Night Football.
I'm intrigued by the category. We will find out together when we get caller 15, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks, as always, to Rob Domofsky. Time now for Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
We welcome in our contestant. It is JJ in Dodgeville. JJ, good morning. How are you, buddy? JJ? Jesse?
I got him on. I don't know.
JJ.
Oh,
JJ.
There he is.
There he is.
I'm here.
All right.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
We don't have any time for small talk anymore. You used that up by not being able to be heard. So let's go. Question number one is this.
Bye.
No, not bye. Stay there. We you still need to answer the questions. Thursday Night
fine,
Lights is the category.
He said fine, Jason.
Oh, okay.
Fine.
Question one is this.
A lot of tension between you two already here.
It's not. I love JJ. Appreciate his loyalty to the show. We got a jam-packed show. It's a
I
game day.
Like
I'm just trying to keep it moving.
Yeah. Rough on him.
Okay.
Hey, JJ, which Packers tight end caught a Hail Mary pass from Aaron Rodgers to walk off the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football in 2016? Is it Jared Cook, Richard Rodgers, or Big Play Bubba?
Richard Rodgers.
Yes, sir.
Question two, JJ. Signed off the Cardinals practice squad just a few weeks prior, which Packers player intercepted Kyler Murray in the end zone in the final seconds of the game to win it for Green Bay and give Arizona its first loss after starting 7-0 in 2021? Was that player Chandon Sullivan, Devondre Campbell, or Rasul Douglas?
Rasul Douglas.
Well done. 2 for 2.
What a great
question
pickup
three. Question
what a
three.
Great pickup by the
question three, JJ. It was a great pickup off the practice squad of the Arizona Cardinals. Question three, JJ. The Packers defeated the Bears 35-14 on Thursday Night Football in week four of the 2017 season. Which journeyman quarterback started the game for the Bears, his final start in Chicago, before being benched in favor of rookie Mitchell Trubisky for the rest of the season? Was that veteran journeyman backup quarterback Brian Hoyer, Mike Glennon, or Matt Barkley?
Brian Hoyer.
That is not an easy question. Mike Glennon.
I mean,
gosh darn it, the heck anyway. Mike Glennon, the correct answer. JJ, you got 2 out of 3. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries in tomorrow's drawing. We appreciate your loyalty to the show, and we appreciate you playing. Have a good one, buddy.
You bet. You guys, too. I love you.
I love you guys.
That is Wildy and Tausch trivia.
JJ. That's JJ.
Came out to see us at Pizza Hut in Platteville when we were out there.
Yeah, what a guy. I thought you were being a little rough on JJ to start. That's why I interjected.
I appreciate you interjecting. We kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.